Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you come on board and join with us as we face the issues each and every day. We always look forward to your dialogue and discussion, your input, your questions, your comments on the issue of the day. We'll be talking about a theological subject today that multitudes have evidently not considered, not pondered, not analyzed, and not stated in the biblical record. The statement is, there is none righteous. There is none righteous. Now you might say, well, what does that mean? What does righteousness mean? How do we become righteous? Could you consider any human being a righteous person? Those are some of the peripheral questions that surround the basic study, the theological, doctrinal understanding of righteousness. What is righteousness? Who can say that they are righteous? Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a very corrupt society today, a dark, evil, wicked, wicked world. Yet there are a lot of people that somehow, some way believe that they are righteous. We're going to talk about that today. Are you righteous? Are you righteous? How do you know? What is righteousness? What does the word righteous mean? How do we become righteous? Is it possible for any human being to be righteous? That's the question. That's the theological basis of our dialogue and discussion today. However, during the course of this broadcast, as we continue to talk about this theological subject, perhaps you have a peripheral question in relationship to that, or perhaps you have a question dealing with theological doctrinal issues that you would like to postulate that we might walk through it with you and consider the biblical answer. Thank you for joining us. And as we face the issues each and every day, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. It's not based on denominational dogma or political ideological bent. We do not base our decisions and our discussion on some theological bent that is out there in the world that has been perverted in relationship to what is believed. It comes right from the Word of God, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, made a very powerful statement. He said, if you continue my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And further, a declaratory statement is made in John 17:17, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God. In fact, in Psalms 117, verse 2, it says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. So let me remind you that if we hang on to and tenaciously do not turn from and grasp the truths of the Word of God, that is something that is everlasting, eternal. And so the Scripture says in Psalms 119, verse 105, that the Bible, the Word of God, should be the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our pathway. May I say to you today that that is so vital and so needed. By the way, lest I forget it, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're tuned in by way of internet, it's 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your question, your comment, the dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. And as we talk about truth, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, the truth is something that is not sought after today. It's not viewed as being needful and necessary. I go back to the secularist George Orwell. Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we have drifted a long way from truth. If you don't believe that, just pay attention to what's happening with the FBI raid on the president's home in Mar-a-Lago. Look at what Merrick Garland says with the DOJ. Do you find truth in what he says, or Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer? Do you find truth in what the socialist Marxist media is saying? I think not. And we're finding today those that stand for truth are dissed, disbelieved, and absolutely confronted, because the society in which we live in have gone so far from the truth. This is the reason. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Powerful statement that Jan Hus made. It says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And so this is my challenge each and every day, that we listen to the truth, learn the truth, seek the truth, and we tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I believe we're living in an era when very soon now, if we cannot say that we are already there, I believe that mostly we are, but very soon we'll be in a position as Christians, conservatives, and patriots in this society that there will be a major, major, major cataclysmic event if we stand for truth without bending, without bowing, as the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did in the third chapter of the book of Daniel. May I say that that's the position that we need to take today as Christians. This is the reason it's so vital that we understand biblical theological doctrinal issues as we're talking about today. There are none righteous, no, not one, the scripture says. We'll get into that in just a moment. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, today's broadcast, a portion of today's broadcast, sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for those looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The Tools for Time staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Based on that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. Ladies and gentlemen, wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment that you work in. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word intends it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Make your application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does in placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with me today. It's been a couple of weeks, Pastor Davis, since we were able to get together and talk about some biblical truths, but I'm thankful that you can be here today. Delighted to have Pastor Glenn Davis hailing from South Georgia.
The big city. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. We thank and praise God for the opportunity to rejoin you again, Dr. Youngblood. It's always a privilege and a pleasure as well, you know, to be in your presence. And I thank God for the wisdom with which you approach, you know, all these situations. And everything I know that, you know, when you do things is based upon the truths coming from the Word of God.
Yes, absolutely.
So this is the reason why, you know, we are facing so much unrighteousness and so much injustice out in the world on today, because they have rejected the knowledge of the truth.
Yes.
And we're living in critical times right now because of that. So I want to say good morning to my bride of 36 years, amen, all my family and friends that are listening, and happy birthday to my big sister on today, amen. This is her birthday today.
She's 29 and holding.
Amen, amen. And I hope and pray that you enjoy your day on today. But grab a pencil and a paper and jot down some of these things that we're talking about. Because, Dr. Youngblood, anytime we're talking about the Word of God, it becomes very vital and necessary for every child of God.
Yes.
to know something about the Word of God, because this woke culture, and I still haven't found out what they're woke from or to.
I've never understood the woke.
I want somebody to explain that to me. But evidently, they have not been awakened unto righteousness. Right. Amen. So when we look at these things that we're talking about on today, it's going to help you as you face these challenges in life each day.
Amen. I am so thankful for the opportunity for us to do so. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, the phone lines are open. It's 831-0917. But listen, we live in a corrupt society. If you don't believe that, just look at what's happening in Washington. Pay attention to what's happening in relationship to the FBI, the CIA, the IRS. I call it the three-letter acronyms that's found out there, the agents, federal agencies, and how corrupt our nation seems to have gotten, and how there appears to be a lack of sensitivity to anything that's called righteousness in our society today. Somehow, most people believe that they're righteous.
Amen.
Now, Pastor Davis, I believe that we could line up 100 people, and many of them would be church members. Many of them would be, quote, good people. We could ask the question, do you feel that you are righteous? Are you a righteous man? Are you a righteous woman? So why is it that if we have so many that believe they are righteous, how is it that we find so much evil, wicked, and unrighteousness that seems to be taking place in our society today? Why so many unrighteous deeds being carried out? Today, I believe we find that the world and the church have almost merged. I believe that we're watching a society today, Pastor Davis, where eons ago, I'm just going to use some hypothetical times, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, there was a major difference, differentiation in what you'd see in what we would call church people and the world. But today, there seems to be a merging and a blending of what would be called the church people, hyphen, brackets, if you will, Christians and the world. Because it seems as though most denominations have decided to inculcate what the world believes, what the world says, bringing it into the church so that you fill the pews with numbers, nickels, and noses, as I call it.
Amen.
Today,
amen,
we find that the world and the church seem to have just simply merged. And in doing so, the deeds, the ethics, and the values seemingly are the same.
Amen.
I am amazed and saddened to see what the world believes is okay. Let's just do a little hypothetical footnote on that. The world says that we need to embrace the sodomite lifestyle. The world says that smoking pot and getting drunk is okay. The world says that lying and cheating is all right. And we find so much of that taking place within the boundaries of what is called church membership today. So the point that I make, Pastor, is I'm sure that there are people like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden and others that would say to you that they're righteous. I've watched Nancy Pelosi a number of times say, well, I'm a good Catholic. I believe this, this, and this, but she's 100% for murder, but we have abortion.
Amen.
We find those that are leading out in the Beltway in Washington that seem to have a mindset that they can bifurcate their lives and that on Sunday they can go say a few prayers, do a few 10 Hail Marys, and bow at the cross, sprinkle a little holy incense, and go home and they're okay.
Amen.
And they consider that to be righteousness.
Amen.
And what we need to understand today, ladies and gentlemen, that doing good deeds, doing works of man, are not indicators of righteousness.
Amen.
That is something we're going to talk about today. But Pastor, I believe, first of all, we need to look at the basic definition of righteousness. The basic definition. First of all, the definition of righteousness is reviewed. Let's review the definition of righteousness. Number one, the dictionary definition of righteousness is this. Twofold. This is the dictionary definition of righteousness. Behavior that is morally justified or right. Secondly, living by and characterized by standards of justice, morality, and uprightness. Now, that sounds good on the surface. And it sounds that, okay, that's what righteousness means. Then I can assume that somehow, some way, that if I don't go out here and steal, if I don't go out here and rob, if I don't go out here and murder, that somehow you can consider me a righteous person. A righteous person. And if you just look at the dictionary definition of righteousness, it would be easier to believe that, easier to think that that's all that is necessary.
Amen.
Living by, characterized by a standard of justice. Well, we're in a society today that, let's just go back and do the measure looking at the Beltway in Washington. I believe that what they're doing in the undermining, tearing down, and destroying of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, eviscerating our foundations and wanting to build back better, I believe that they really believe, that they really think that somehow America's bad, Donald J. Trump is wicked and evil, anybody that follows him are simply mistaken and misguided, and therefore they have to build back better. And they are really believing, ladies and gentlemen, that what they're doing is righteous in their actions of what is taking place. They really believe that it's the right thing to do to confront everything that's called Christianity, everything that's called belief in God, everything that we would call doing which is honoring God. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, multitudes view themselves in the mirror of what others are doing. I've used the term,
amen,
Pastor,
amen,
Davis, that many think that I'm righteous because I don't smoke, I don't cuss, I don't drink, I don't run around those that do.
Amen.
So therefore, I'm righteous. But that's not what is biblical righteousness.
That's not it. Amen.
Not righteousness at all.
Praise
and
God.
We find a number of folks today, and Pastor Davis, there are a number of people that claim to be Christians, that are church members, that do not understand the difference in the holiness and righteousness.
Amen.
And somehow they feel, I am righteous. Look at my righteousness. And by the way, that's an indication of self-righteousness.
Amen.
When you
Amen.
Find that taking place. Pastor, hold your thoughts for just a moment. I believe we have Jackie on the line. Jackie, go ahead with your question or comment, please. Jackie, go ahead with your question or comment. Are you there, Jackie?
Oh, hi.
Yes,
yeah.
Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hello, yes, Dr. Youngblood, I have a question. Well, first of all, I believe, yes, hello?
Go ahead. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Okay, Dr. Youngblood, I don't think there's any righteous, not one, the Bible says so, but I get confused. I mean, I'm an older person, 70s. Our times are so bad with the sodomite lifestyle and the transvestite. Why is God tarrying so long?
Well, the scripture says God is not slack concerning his promises. Some man's got slackness. He is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but
Amen.
That all would come to repentance. So therefore, what we're seeing is we do not know God's purpose in tarrying, other than the fact that I can couch it this way. We do not know when that last person will say yes to Jesus, and God will consider it done, it over. And I believe we're very, very near that point of demarcation where God says it's enough, it's over. The church will be raptured out. The 7 years of tribulation will enter in. The man of sin, the Antichrist, the lawless one to step on the scene and rule and reign with an iron fist as a tyrannical dictator for the whole globe. That's what the scripture says. But God is the one that's sovereign. God is the one that he doesn't operate by a clock or calendar. He doesn't operate based on what we think, say, or feel. It is based on God's sovereign purpose. And not my only answer to that is, as I go back to the scripture, God is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long suffering. That means he's patient, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. That doesn't mean that all is going to repent. That doesn't mean that all is going to be saved, but that's God's purpose and goal and idea and plan of waiting to allow man to come to himself and say yes to Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And then, Dr. Youngblood, I will add to that, you know, another good two reasons,
yes,
I can say.
Go ahead.
That God is tarrying so long. It's his love and his grace.
Yes.
The scriptures say that God so loved the world, and he still loves us right now. So out of his great love that he has, or that he's showing toward us right now, he is giving us a chance, as you said in your explanation, to get it right with him, not willing. See, hell wasn't made for man.
That's right.
The scriptures say that hell was made for the devil and his angels.
Right.
But now man, men, women, boys, and girls,
mankind,
will end up going there, mm-hmm, because, not because of the bad things that they've done. This is another thing that people are missing out on. They think because they have done a degree of sin that was so much worse, or can I say like the old people used to say it, badder than the other.
Than the others, that's right.
Amen. We classify sin.
That's right.
But to God, sin is sin. It's just one bracket. It's in one bracket.
Right.
Sin is sin, and he hates all sin.
Right.
But it's not because of sin why people are going to hell. It's because of unbelief.
Right.
They did not believe in Jesus Christ, And in the righteous sacrifice that he made by giving his life to God on behalf of all mankind, if only we accept the righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith for his finished work out on Calvary's cross, that's the only way that we can be saved.
That's right.
And this is why God is tarrying, because of his grace. Second thing, we're under a grace period. Just like we have bills, and sometimes they give you a grace period, a chance to pay it before the next charge comes in, and then you're charged a late fee, and sometimes we get all upset about that, because, you know, sometimes we ourselves are to blame for what we do when we slap around like that. But when we look at how God is extending his love, and can I throw mercy in there, and grace as well?
That's right.
Amen. He's giving us a chance to get it right with him. Absolutely. And every day I wake up, when that sun rises, when I look out my window and I see the sunrise and I'm able to see it and enjoy what God has made, I lift my hand to heaven and I say, thank you, God, for another day.
Amen. Every day waking up.
Amen.
Jackie, thank you so much for your call. I pray that that was a challenge and encouragement to you as we think on that subject today. There's none righteousness, none righteous, no, not one. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about, and we've gotten to the point of talking about what is righteousness, the definition of the word or the term righteousness is reviewed. The dictionary definition says of righteousness, it's behavior that is morally justified, that is right, living by or characterized by a standard of justice and morality and uprightness. But then there's the biblical definition and the biblical standard of righteousness. Not just the dictionary definition, but the biblical standard of righteousness. And ladies and gentlemen, there is a slight differentiation when we talk about that. The biblical standard of righteousness is this: God's own perfection in every attribute, action, attitude, and every behavior, and in every word.
Amen.
It's pretty powerful when we talk about it.
That's the difference.
Well, that's the vast difference. The righteousness based on the scripture is God's own perfection in every attribute, every action, every attitude, and every behavior, and in every word. Now, with that being the measure of what God's word calls righteousness, then the question begs to be asked and demands to be answered. Can any man, can any woman, can any boy, can any human being claim to be righteous? Secondly, not only is God's own perfection in every attitude and action and in attribute and behavior, in every word and deed, but secondly, it's God's law. God's law is given in the Bible by where he describes his own character, and it constitutes the plumb line.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
When you're building a house, when you're building a building, you want to get a wall straight. You drop a plumb line, and the framing has to measure up to that plumb line. The brick or the concrete block needs to be measured up and follow that plumb line. If it's out of plumb, it is not proper. It is not correct.
Amen.
And
amen. It won't stand.
It won't stand. That's
amen.
Absolutely
praise
right.
God.
It's an impossibility. But when we're talking about the biblical standard for righteousness, God's law is given in the Bible, which both describes his own character and constitutes the very plumb line by which he measures human righteousness.
Amen. Amen.
It is that looking at that wall, as I talk about in building a building, when that plumb line is dropped, that plumb line becomes the standard.
Amen.
And God is the plumb line. It's his standard. And it's not something where we can bend the standard and say, well, I meet it partially, or I meet it most of the way, or some of it is in order and the rest of it's not. Either we meet the standard, the plumb line, or we don't.
Amen.
I never will forget when we were building our home. I had a concrete block mason that came in and shelled it in. And we're going to do the concrete block and face it out with brick. And I went out to look at it, and one entire section of the back wall, I just stood and looked, and it looked like it was leaning. And I got a plumb line and dropped it, and from the top to the bottom, it was almost 1 inch out. You might say the average person said, well, that's not a whole lot. It is something that is visible to the natural eye, but at the same time, it didn't meet the standard.
Amen.
It didn't follow the plumb line.
Amen.
It did not measure up. And so that's what we're talking about today. God's righteousness is his plumb line. And the question is, can man, can any human being, can mankind say, I am righteous?
Amen.
Do you meet that plumb line, of God's righteousness is the question.
Amen.
It's based on his plumb line is God's attitude, God's attributes, God's actions, and whatever is of God is in every word and in every deed. Can any man say they meet that standard?
I would be fearful of that, Dr. Youngblood, to even try to approach it.
Yes.
To approach God on my own grounds.
That's right.
But that's what we do.
That's what we're trying
to do. So many times we try to measure God by us instead of us measuring ourselves by God. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. We have to realize God is a God of absolutes.
Right.
And now, when you're talking about perfection or righteousness, absolute righteousness means it's flawless.
That's right.
You can find no fault. Mm-hmm. It takes my mind back to when Jesus Christ was standing before Pontius Pilate. And Pilate was asking him what was truth.
So what is truth?
Amen. Mm-hmm. Christ explained it to him. And when after he did that, he said, somebody bring me a bowl of water. Mm-hmm. And he washed his hands. And he said, I find no fault in him. Mm-hmm. How can we, as sinful human beings today, all of our righteousness just like filthy rags, like the scripture say, mm-hmm. how can we turn around and condemn God and say that he is not righteous simply because he allows something to happen that might have been a catastrophe in the world?
That's right.
Like the bombing of the World Trade Center. Mm-hmm. Up there, and a lot of people ask, where is God? Why did God allow this to happen? How can a righteous God allow these things to happen? What we have to realize, we made a bad choice from day one.
That's right.
In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve was given a choice.
That's right.
And they chose sin over God. And ever since that day, Dr. Youngblood, things have not been right.
That's right.
So that's why we're facing so much unrighteousness in the world on today. Because that sin, that one sin, set the standard for the rest of the other human being that ever would be born. And the only way that we can get back right with God is when we accept the righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith.
Through the shed blood.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the question today, or the statement, there's none righteous. Would you have a question about that? Do you challenge that? Do you believe that you're a righteous person? What premise, what is the basis, what is the measure, what is the plumb line, what is the standard by which you can say that you are righteous? We're going to talk about that further, but that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. The Bible describes the righteous person as holding to God's standard, holding
Amen.
To God and fully trusting him. We want to see then, secondly, not only the definition of righteousness, but we need to see the deception of righteousness, the deception of righteousness. The Bible makes it very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, that man cannot achieve righteousness himself. In fact, Pastor Davis, we've got just about a minute before top of the hour news, but look at Romans chapter 3 and read for our listeners today, Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, and then we'll make a comment and come back to that after our news break. There's Amen. None righteous, no, not one, the scripture says in Romans. Read those few verses.
Amen. Romans 3 and 10.
3:10 through 13.
As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one.
Absolutely. It says none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that. God says that. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1 minute top of our news break. Right after the break, we're coming back. We're going to continue our conversation today, ladies and gentlemen, with the statement, there's none righteous, no, not one. What are your thoughts on that? Right after the break, don't turn your dial. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.